And so, ladies, as we come together today, and as I address you from God's Word, whether you are content in singleness or marriage, or if men have brought you heartache, whatever the case may be, take heart as you listen today.
One of the biggest hurdles facing married couples is a lack of understanding concerning the different roles God has ordained for husbands and wives. So on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will begin addressing those roles, beginning with that of the wife. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. Of course, a discussion of the biblical role of the wife inevitably runs into that dreaded word, submission. Don, what do we do with that word?
Well, Bill, here's what I think we do with that word. I think we look it square in the face and say, this is what God has revealed as His plan for marriage. And the key thing for those of you who are wives, perhaps you're struggling in a difficult marriage with a difficult man even, is to remember that your submission is ultimately not to the man to whom you're married, but it's submission to the Lord Himself. To realize that the Lord who graciously saved you is the God who calls you to this role in marriage. For Christ's sake, if not for your husband's, you can live this way because He's put His Spirit in you if you know Christ, and He's given you the power to live according to what He's commanded.
Thanks, Don. And friend, turn in your Bible to Ephesians 5. Let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Paul starts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by speaking to wives. Look at verses 22 through 24, which will be our text. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Some of you ladies are single, and you would like to be married. Some of you are married happily. Others maybe not quite so much. And still others carry the scars of past divorce or immorality, and your life carries forth the consequences of sins that you have committed in the past, or perhaps that others have committed against you. Let me remind you as we begin something very important as we would consider how Christ would communicate these principles about marriage to you as a woman with a past. No one has been a friend to women like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made Himself known to the Samaritan woman, even though she had had five husbands when He did, in John chapter 4. When a woman with a long-standing hemorrhage touched His cloak and was healed, He turned to her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And when a sinful woman washed His feet with her tears and her hair, He forgave her many sins and said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And so, ladies, as we come together today, and as I address you from God's Word, whether you are content in singleness or marriage, or if men have brought you heartache and led you into sin, perhaps you're here and you've led men into sin and given them heartache, whatever the case may be, take heart as you listen today. Scripture is abundantly clear that Christ is a sympathetic Savior who receives sinful women and gladly forgives them as they come and receive Him and put their faith in Him. He forgives them and makes them new. Your past does not define your future in Christ. Quite to the contrary, Christ is the defining reality that determines the course of your future. And so while we study these things, and Paul addresses women in a particular way, we need to understand that Christ is mediating His love through His Word to you today. Your sinful past does not exclude you from His grace and love. In fact, your sinful past is the very context in which Christ will now show His love to you. And He shows His love by giving us a sense of direction through the inspired apostle. He gives us the direction that He would have wives to live in order to live in obedience to Him, to glorify Him, and to experience His blessing. And so, ladies, remember your Savior. Remember the gracious One who has saved you as we come to this text today. And rest in Christ as you hear His Word today. And so with those thoughts in mind, ladies, let's take a look at what submission means for you in the context of marriage. Or for those of you that are single, how you should prepare as you contemplate possibly a future of marriage, what that is to look like, what you should be training your heart in, even if you are not there. And even for the rest of us, remembering that Paul had just said for all of us to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, we realize that we walk on holy ground here today. This is not the place for a high-spirited, high-handed rebellion that says, I'm not going to submit to anyone. You know, I'm my own person. I am independent. That's not the spirit that Paul calls us to. He calls us to fear Christ and to bring ourselves into submission to His authority, which is going to show us submission in other realms of relationships. And so that's the spirit in which we look at it here today. You know, we just want to be obedient to Christ today, don't we? That's why we gather together. That's why we hear His Word. That's how we respond to a gracious Savior who laid His life down for us. We respond with a willing compliance with whatever it is that He has to say to us. And so we approach this passage with a teachable spirit, just like we do every other passage of Scripture. We say, Lord, speak. Lord, teach us. Lord, lead us through Your Word that we might be found pleasing to You. And so with that spirit, we examine four principles about a wife's submission to her husband that Scripture would teach us in order to experience the blessing of marriage. What can we say about this? Our first principle today is very basic, is that this submission, this is the first point, this submission is to the husband. This submission is to the husband. Paul here is telling wives how the general principle of submission in chapter 5, verse 21 applies to you. And he focuses on the heart attitudes of yieldedness and self-renunciation. Look at verse 22. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Those of you that are looking at a NASB, perhaps other versions, see the words be subject in italics, indicating that those words are not present in the original text. As you read through the text, it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's just a carryover from verse 21. Our English translators have supplied the verb, be subject, in verse 22 simply to give a sense of clarity as it brings a new paragraph to bear. But here's what I want you to see. And there is so much confusion and misdirection and mischaracterization about the Bible's teaching on submission in the marriage that we need to be very basic and clear on what it is saying. Paul is not calling on Christian women to submit to all men generally everywhere. That is not his point at all. Read the text carefully. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's very directed. It's very specific. He speaks to the women in the congregation and he says, those of you that are married, you are to be in submission to your husband as you go through life, as you live in the Christian life in the context of marriage. Ladies, you single ladies, watch this, you young people. It's very good for you to hear these things even as a young teenager, to understand something very important here. This passage is not, whatever else we say about courtship and dating and all of that, we're not going to get into that here today. I just want to say this. This passage does not call on an unmarried girl to submit to the boy with whom she has a relationship. A Christian girlfriend is not under an obligation and should not consider herself as being in submission to a Christian boyfriend. That's not the case. You should not think in those terms. It is marriage that imposes this duty, not a mere social relationship that may come or go. And so you need to be very careful about that and be very careful to think through what you're doing in a relationship and realize that this submission of which Paul speaks is a wife to a husband. And if you're not married to that man yet, don't think in those terms. That can only distort the relationship. It can only put wrong pressures on it. It can only lead you astray. And those of you who are unmarried men in the audience, you should not think about the girl in your life in those terms as well, as if you own her and she owes you submission. Not until you put that ring on her finger and you pledge your loyalty to her in a public setting. Not until then should you ever expect that from a girl. Your point is to her is you're in submission to the Lord, and we'll see what He does with our relationship going forward. No, wives are being addressed here. And so we need that to be clear. It's wives being in submission to their husband, not single people being addressed here, not women generally to men in society. This is a very narrow and focused submission that Paul calls women to here. And it's an entire heart attitude that he wants them to cultivate. Ladies, those of you that are married, those of you that are contemplating marriage, those of you that are looking for a woman to be married, this is, you know, you should see, is this disposition there? Or do I see somebody who's just marked by rebellion in her life? Well, you know, these things all flow out of a character. What Paul is saying here is he wants wives to show yieldedness to their husbands as the ongoing pattern of their lives. It's an entire heart attitude that he wants them to cultivate that would be the dynamic that is the mark of daily life. Notice that he speaks it in general terms. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Notice that at the end of verse 24, he wraps it up and he makes it comprehensive when he says wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And so there is this attitude of submission, of yieldedness, of conscious, joyful subordination to your husband that Scripture calls you to. And ladies, this is not something that you give to your husband grudgingly. It is not something that you give to him when you feel like he deserves it and you reserve the right to be the judge of that. No, Christ has already been the judge of when this is appropriate. And Christ calls wives to be subject to their husbands, even as they are to the Lord. This is the man that God has given to you, for better or for worse, as you probably vowed at your wedding. This is the man that God has given to you, and in His providence you understand and you look at that and say, okay, this is the sphere in which I live out practical obedience to Christ, is in the way that I submit and the way that I respond to my husband. This is just the Word of God in plain, unvarnished form. Now, has this verse been abused? Sure it has. Almost every verse in the Bible has been abused in one manner or another. And husbands, it seems like, particularly professing Christian husbands, like to look at this passage and make it a demand on the wives that they institute, and they say, "Woman, submit to me." And they make it a matter of lording it over the woman and reminding her of these things and requiring different things from her. Well, men, I want you to notice something really important here. And with the men, I'll speak to you with a different tone than I do to the ladies. You men need to understand that this command is written to the wives. It is not written to husbands. This is not given to husbands as that which you would use to enforce submission on your wife. That is a total distortion of the spirit of the passage. Listen, Paul will get to you soon enough in verses 25 to 33. If you're really concerned as a man to be a godly man and a godly husband, your focus goes to 25 through 33 and say, how does this address me? Rather than bypassing your own obedience to Christ in order to manipulate and lord it over your wife and say, you see what Scripture says, you are to submit to me. Well, you let God work that out in the heart of your wife. You focus on verses 25 to 33. For now, understand that Paul, look at this. This is just such simple biblical interpretation. It's amazing the simplicity of biblical understanding. Look at verse 22. Wives. It's evocative. He's addressing them directly. He says, wives. And so you as a husband say, oh, he's talking to the wives now. Maybe I should step back and maybe just put my hand over my lips and be quiet as he addresses the wives in what he has to say. But ladies, with that corrective issued to some of the men perhaps in the congregation or those of you watching over the internet, married ladies, you need to implement this. This is not me speaking. This is the Word of God that is laying this out and saying this is how God wants a Christian woman to live in her marriage. You single ladies, I've got several of them in my family. You single ladies, you need to be careful as you approach marriage, as you contemplate marriage. Just speaking to you as a pastor, once you choose your man, this principle applies whether he is good to you or not. And so be careful. Don't rush into marriage because the lifelong consequences of being in submission to a selfish, domineering man are very broad and deep indeed. And to quote an unmarried friend of mine who is now in his 70s, it may be better for you to want something you don't have than to have someone that you don't want. Be mindful of that. There are worse things than going through life unmarried, and one of those worst things is being married to a selfish, abusive man and being in a position where Scripture tells you that you're to live in submission to him. Don't make life unnecessarily difficult simply because you're in a hurry to try to get out of a situation of loneliness that you don't like. And if you happen to be single and you're content there, God bless you. Scripture speaks about that as well. But as we're addressing what the Scriptures say about the wives' submission to their husbands, understand that principle number one is that this submission is to the husband, not to all men generally, not to a boyfriend, not to anything like that. Focus on the married aspect of this and you'll do well. Now, what could we say secondly as a second principle about this? Well, this is where it gets very... This is where the spiritual opportunity really comes into play. Point number two, as we contemplate this, is that this submission is to the Lord Himself. This submission is to the Lord. It is the Lord Jesus who calls you to this standard of submission. In some ways, ladies, you look beyond your husband and what I am sure is his most imperfect manifestation of Christ to you. You look beyond that and see who it is who is calling you to this life of submission. And the wife must see that it is the Lord Himself who commands it, not her husband. Look at chapter 5, verse 22, where it says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord." A Christian wife, let's just state this plainly, a Christian wife cannot rebel against her husband without simultaneously rebelling against the Lord. God is the one who established the husband's authority in the home. He has given the duty of submission to the wife. And so what you must understand as you go through marriage and as you contemplate the application of this, ladies, is that your response on this matter is not up to your personal preference. God commands it. This is God's word. This is God saying, wives, be subject to your husband. And He gives a parallel. You submit to your husband as you would submit to the Lord Himself. And so it's not a matter of preference. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand how this comes together. My wife has relatives who have an old-fashioned rope-making machine. And it's interesting thing to see. It kind of stands on two different ends, and you put different strands of twine together, and then you start twisting the lever, and it gradually wraps those twines around one another, and you turn the crank repeatedly so that those strands become a single rope. There's three strands, but when you're done, you can't see where one begins and the other one ends. They're just wound together so tightly like that. And when it's finished, you've got one rope, even though it started with separate strands. Well, wives, ladies, your submission to your husband is so tied up with your obedience to the Lord that you really can't separate the two. You can't be a defiant wife toward your husband and consider yourself to be a woman who is living in obedience to the Lord. It doesn't work that way. An obedient Christian wife is going to be marked by a godly submissive attitude to her husband. That's what it says here in verse 5:22. Look at it with me again. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. They go together. Look at verse 24, which reemphasizes it even more. But says, but as the church is subject to Christ, he draws a parallel of the way the church responds to the Lord in a corporate way. Well, he says, in just that manner, that is how wives are to respond to their husbands. Verse 24, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And so Scripture has laid this out. And ladies, what you need to see is that this is not conditioned on the character of your husband. It is conditioned on the nature of the Lord, the nature of Scripture. You cannot separate the two out and isolate that part of your life and say, I'll do it my way here. That's not what the Lordship of Christ was ever meant to be in anyone's life, where we would pick and choose that which we thought was acceptable. And so, ladies, here's a hard statement maybe, but it's very true. Your godliness starts with the man that you married. Your godliness starts with how you respond to your husband. It's great for us to come and be happy together in this room, but it doesn't do much good and it doesn't mean much if somehow you're a different person inside the home than you are where everybody else can see. And so I realize that this is searching. It's a penetrating concept of all, and that's why I'm very careful about the tone with which I speak. Some of you men don't necessarily deserve the kind of godly response that your wife gives to you. But ladies, notice, you have to realize that this starts with the Lord. This is coming from Christ Himself. And that is what, by the way, that is what gives you the motivation. And that's what gives you the comfort and the encouragement you need to respond to a difficult husband, is you realize, you know, I'm not doing this for him on a horizontal level anyway. I'm doing this in response to the Lord. This is what He's called me to. You know what? He calls some to go out and they bear witness to Christ and they suffer persecution, imprisonment. Many have given their necks for the sake of Christ. And they gladly did that. Well, my role, my position, you say to yourself, is just a little bit different. I give myself in a godly way to a difficult relationship, and I gladly do that because this is what the Lord, who shed His blood for me, calls me to do. And if I can't do it for the man in front of me, I can certainly do it for the Christ on the throne who calls me to it. And so this submission is to your husband. This is a submission that is to the Lord because He is the one who commands it.
Because the word submission often is a stumbling block for Christian wives, Pastor Don Green is providing some practical principles to help promote better understanding. Don will have two more principles for you on our next program as he continues our series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. So tune in then to the Truth Pulpit. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
Hi, friend. As we close today, I just want to make something available to you. You know, as you listen to these radio broadcasts, they have to fit into a 25-minute format, and we're very grateful for the opportunity the Lord's given us to do just that. But the radio messages are born out of a longer sermon message that contains more information, more background, a fuller explanation of the passage than what we're able to do on radio. So I encourage you to go to our website and find the link that says Follow Don's Pulpit. That'll lead you to a podcast that gives you the full-length sermons from every Sunday and every Tuesday from my pulpit. I really think that it'll minister to you over time to hear the full-length messages. So we make that available for free, and we would love you to join us in that way as well.
Thank you, Don. And friend, to take advantage of what Don just mentioned, just visit thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don Green presents more from The Truth Pulpit.